Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. This is the podcast where we talk about many angles of getting to know ourselves through past lives and all the divine avenues for remembering, learning, thinking, and maybe if we're lucky, some cackling laughter sprinkled in appropriately. I'm your host, Gina, and today I am joined by Sarah Leverett, creatrix, founder of Intuitive Powerment. She's an oracle reader, hypnotherapist, coach, and just a really great person. So if you get through this episode, if you're in the episode and you're wondering where you can learn more about Sarah, you can check out the links to past episodes that she has joined me for of this podcast and links to her work and her Instagram. You can find that all in the show notes. If you get to the end of this episode and you're wondering where to go next, you want to learn more, I suggest you head to my website or Sarah's website linked in the show notes to learn more about what we do, the sessions we offer. We offer things virtually, so it doesn't matter where you are. You can also head over to pastlivesandthedivine.com and peruse the shop to find different healing hypnotic tracks, soon to come more specific at-home journeys. You can also hop on the email list at pastlivesandthedivine.com/subscribe to get information about new episodes, gatherings, early registration for events, and just anything else we got going on over here. Okay, are you ready? Gather around the fire for our oracle reading with Sarah Leverett. Hey Sarah, welcome. Joining me for another oracle chat. And you've all been here before probably. If you're new to this game, we pull an oracle card and we discuss totally unplanned, besides the plan to pull an oracle card and talk about it. And we just kind of intuitively feel our way around. What does this card mean to us? And you take it from there. What does it mean to you? Does anything Sarah or I bring up resonate with you? If it doesn't, just leave it. If it does, take it, add to it, make it your own. If you want more information on the background of these oracle episodes or how Sarah gets her intuitive downloads, you can check out episode number 58. And all of that stuff, along with Sarah's links and other episodes, are in the show notes. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, hello. I am, like you said, Sarah Leverett. Yep, brand new information there. I like to consider myself a creatrix. So I consider myself the creatrix of intuitive empowerment. In addition to oracle readings, I am also a certified hypnotherapist and an intuitive coach. I've talked a little bit about specifically what I like to dive into with hypnotherapy and coaching on past episodes. But I haven't talked a ton about the different types of oracle readings that I do. So I love to do one-on-one sessions for sure. But I am also available for groups of two or larger groups. And that's always really fun to work with multiple energies and kind of talk through and have that larger discussion. So if you have a friend or a partner or a coworker, or somebody in your family, we could do small groups or we could do a large group. So that would be fun.
That would be so much fun. That's such a good idea.
And a different oracle option that I have that I just decided to keep on long term is my mini reading service. So if you don't necessarily want to do the full discussion and the one-on-one, I have a quick and easy way to book an oracle reading with me. It's $11 per card. So basically $11 per message that I channel and then send via text or DM, however you prefer that information. I usually do it with a voice recording. And you can do anywhere from 1 to 5 different cards, however many you want, but that's a quick and easy way to work with me if you're interested.
That was what doing that service from you is what gave me the the idea for this episode, because I think it's so good. And I just love the way you always have really good questions to get the person who's receiving the message to think about it and kind of like think about it in their own way instead of, and so it feels, I guess, more like their own truth. I love that. I love that about the way you do your things, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay. And you do all this stuff online, virtual, you said?
Did you say that? Okay. Yep. Everything that I offer, I also offer online. Of course, excellent. Anyone in Tennessee would love to connect with you. But I love to connect just as much virtually as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I still get that question a lot. Are you doing virtual sessions? Yes. So I just want everyone to know that. Okay, Sarah, what deck are you going to use today? What drew you to it? Is it one you always use? Is it a new one?
I have the Literary Witches Oracle with me today. And, you know, I think the reason why this one's pulling me in today is because I've personally been doing a bit of shadow work, specifically yesterday, but in general right now, just really working with sitting with some of my deeper emotions, with some of my tougher emotions. During the summer, I'm kind of in like a go, do kind of state. And I think a lot of people are also kind of feeling that, especially with things starting to open back up socially. And so I guess I've just been kind of rushing through a lot of my emotions. And this deck really challenges me to kind of take a peek at some of the heavier things or maybe some of the more lower vibrational things that we experience. And I'm hoping that the collective will resonate with that as well.
Yeah.
All right. So we will go ahead and settle in here for just a moment before we start with the reading. And just take an opportunity to ground into the physical body. If it's safe for you to close your eyes, you can join me in doing so. Either way, whether your eyes are open or closed, you can begin to start tapping into the sensations in the physical body. If your feet are touching the ground or even just the shoes that you're wearing, just starting to notice that feeling or that support of the earth beneath you. If you're sitting, you might also become aware of the feeling of the chair or the cushions or whatever it is that you're lying on or sitting on. Whether you're sitting or standing, just noticing what it feels like to be supported by Mother Earth, realizing that we have roots that ground deep into her safety, her security, that we ourselves are nature, and that simply by becoming aware of this, we're opening ourselves up to so much abundance, blessings. And then once you're fully aware of that power, move forward into connecting with spirit from that place. Calling in my spirit guides and the rest of my spirit team, as well as the spirit teams of the collective of listeners. Asking that this larger conversation be in alignment with our journeys in remembering our source, remembering our oneness, remembering our connection, and also remembering our joy that we're here to experience, surrounding each of us in loving white light of protection and moving us forward in this conversation, completely aware of our power. Already so very, very grateful for all of the wisdom, insight, and knowledge that will flow. All right. Let's see what the literary witch's oracle has for us today. So as a reminder, this deck is a combination of some feminist and womanist literary figures. And then the other cards are called, I believe, like the witch's tools or something like that. So some kind of witchy symbols and metaphors within this deck. And even though some of the themes are a bit darker, just remembering that spirit is only going to pass along messages in this space that get us closer to that part of us that is light, just helping us to remember and to tap into that. So the message that came through today is the teacup. And this is very like an antique image, very intricate, very dainty, very beautiful. Something that you might keep in a china cabinet. I'll definitely share this image on Instagram as well. I'm just taking a moment to check in with spirit here. So the first thing that's coming through is this image of a circle and of sharing tea, which makes me think of community and the importance of community in a spiritual space. And the other thing that's coming through is like right after that message is that feeling of community, even in solitude.
Yeah.
And this need for connection that is really tough right now. I think collectively, as people are awakening to their power, and as we're all on these, honestly, the way I think of it is like this dark night of the soul, right? Coming out of the other side of these really deep experiences. You know, many of us who are in this space and in this larger conversation of spirituality, we have gone through a sort of reckoning, and we're really coming to terms with our power, and it can feel extremely lonely. You know, especially if you are one of the first people in your ancestral line to remember this power, and you can feel very ostracized and like you don't have a space to kind of find common ground and share your experience. And, you know, something that keeps coming up for me is that intuition needs affirmation, right? Like when you're practicing, like really tapping into that space within you, it needs to hear yes, yes. And for someone who, like me, who wasn't listening to that for so long, it's sometimes really difficult to affirm yourself in those spaces. And so I think that this message is really about two things. One, if you can find someone, you know, whether it's virtually, through a podcast, through Instagram, through just shooting an email, you know, dropping a question into somebody's, you know, ask me anything, whatever it is, just don't be in your own way with that. Just do what you're feeling called to do and find someone, even if it's not in your physical community, find someone at large who can just affirm that in you. And also, if that just isn't within reach right now, if it just isn't something that you honestly cannot find someone to affirm you in that, then I think the next step is to let spirit affirm you And that takes a bit of inner work and slowing down. And what I mean by that is the universe is constantly speaking to us in our own language. It's sending us symbols, it's sending us metaphors, it's sending us signs, it's sending us synchronicities, it's sending us music, it's sending us all kinds of things that mean something to us. It's just about noticing, right? And so if you're not at a place where you feel like you have someone you trust in this work, then maybe the next step is to trust those signs and synchronicities that are coming through and let that be a start of feeling community. So not ignoring those little signs and messages that come through and letting that be your affirmation, letting that be your intuitive, yes, okay, I'm on the right track. And then just having the faith that you absolutely will find your spiritual community. You will. That is just a part of this journey. Spirit is not going to have you go through this alone. It's just about, you know, getting to that place within yourself so that you're moving from that intuitive space of like, yes, this can be my person. Yes, I can trust them. And then that community is only going to then support that power of that solitude and that trust. I just keep getting this image of like women sitting around a table, sipping tea, which also just makes me think about just indulgence and enjoying the little things. And your spiritual community doesn't necessarily have to be like all serious, all meditating together, yoga. Like it doesn't have to be that. Like if you just have a group of people who love to take a walk together or love to meet up and go to a concert, like your spiritual community doesn't necessarily have to look spiritual. But it's just about finding those people around you that you feel affirmed, you feel seen, and prioritizing that in your life.
Yeah. I love everything you said there. I was taking notes, but this thought of something you brought up, you said community, but even in solitude. And you had mentioned like finding a community or sharing with your community. I don't remember how you said it. And you said, whether it's like your community, like the people that you see regularly in your, like in real life or at large, like on the internet. And then you had mentioned like following an interest, or maybe that's my interpretation of it, but it kind of all came together, bridging the gap between like what you said, but then also what I kind of thought of with that cup. So I think of this podcast and how I didn't know that it would be so fulfilling and such a key part. Like right now, my favorite people to hang out with and talk with are people who I've met through the podcast. And even if that isn't the case, when before I had met people and like became friends with people through the podcast, it was really just knowing that there were other people out there. I remember the first episode I did, I went and checked like a week later, I checked the stats and it was like, oh my God, 15 people downloaded this. And it was like, I had told 10 people. And I was just like, who are these 5 people? I don't know. And even that just made me feel good. Like someone else out there is listening to me and that makes me feel good. And that's what I think the beautiful thing about the internet is like being able to curate shared experiences with people on a weird frontier that we're all just learning. But even I think I feel more isolated. Like if I follow people online who are so different from me or evoke, or not so different from me, I like to see people who are different than me, but like people who I don't see a lot of myself in, I guess. It's one thing to be aspirational or learning, but I get a comfort when I see other people who have more in common with me. And so even just to your point, Sarah, if someone is out there and they're like, I feel like I don't have anyone to share my spiritual tea with, or I think it's good just to start realizing the people who are in your life, who affirm you, who affirm your experiences, who want to learn more about you, who's falling in love with you. And to know, like, it doesn't have to be what we think of as spiritual. Like it can be fun. It can be play. It can be joy. And right away when I saw that teacup, the first thing I thought of was, I think it's the first thing I think of every time I see a teacup. I'm not that classy. I don't have teacups in this house, but one of my brothers-in-law is in college for whatever reason, he had like the soundtrack for Beauty and the Beast. I don't know if it was like stuck in his CD player or if this was by choice, but he's like, you know, a 21-year-old man driving around listening to the soundtrack of the Beauty and the Beast. And Alex and I were laughing about that yesterday. I don't know what made us think of it, but I always think of Chip from Beauty and the Beast because I think Chip is such a cute name. I think that voice is so cute and just childlike wonder and just kind of fancy free. I think that we can meet more of our people when we play more, because also how we let loose and how we let our guard down, how we let loose and play, we have to let our guard down. And to find people who you can do that with, like sometimes I think just having fun with people is maybe like the first step, and it's hard to make friends as an adult too. So I think that's something that I like to keep in mind. It's like, okay, well, how do I want to have fun, and how can I share that? And, just with other people who have those overlapping interests. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that community, even in solitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to, that cup made me think of was how in a past life regression, Sarah, you probably see this too, and it's such a good reminder for me and anyone who hears it. But whenever someone comes out of a past life and they're looking at that life and they're like wondering, you know, we're kind of trying to pull out wisdom from that life. What would you do differently? What was good about that life? And the things that create like a full, beautiful, wonderful life, like a good life, people always say it's like connection, it's love, it's relationship. And whether that's the big regret, someone wishes they would have done those things differently, or someone is like, yes, those are the biggest moments of pride and looking back in fondness on that life. And then it's always part of the regrets of like, mm-hmm. I wish that I would have loved more. I wish I would have loved myself. I wish I would have loved other people. And so that just kind of, that hits home on a few levels. And it's mm-hmm. such a simple card. We'll share that picture when this comes out.
Totally. It's very simple. Yes. Everything you said makes a ton of sense to me. And honestly, as I was talking, an image of Beauty and the Beast did pop into my mind as well. So that's so funny. And as you were talking, Spirit sent me another message here. And it's interesting because this has been on my mind because my mom just offered me some china that has kind of been in my family now that we just purchased our first home. You know, she's thinking about passing those types of things along. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, first of all, I don't have a china cabinet. And second of all, like, when am I going to have a fancy enough event for china? And Spirit just sent this message that this idea of like, yeah, we have china. Yeah, we keep it in a china cabinet. But like, why are we not pulling that out more metaphorically? Like, why are we waiting until like a special occasion? Yes. Or like a huge life event to like think, oh, now we deserve this beautiful way to commune with one another, which then made me think about kind of how I operate with my family and friends sometimes, especially people that I don't stay in touch with too much. It's like the one time I do think to call them is when like, oh, I'm about to move, or oh, I just got a promotion, or oh, it's like to kind of fill them in on like the special things in my life, right? When what might be missing for me and maybe the collective is just calling them for the things that are just mundane, you know, and keeping that going. Like, we don't necessarily have to have accomplished something or have something huge going on in our lives to fill somebody in or to feel like we're worthy of making that phone call. And on the flip side, we don't necessarily have to wait until we're like in deep suffering to make those phone calls either. It's like the day to day, the mundane. Personally, that's when I feel in community with others, is when it's like I truly care about like, what have you been up to today? Or like,
yeah,
I truly want to know those little details of like, you know, what's your typical day look like? And that feeling kind of is more communal to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like the small mundane things are shared.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I really like that. And even just, yeah, we have a China hutch in this house that was built in the 1950s, like built in the wall. And I have often thought about just like the metaphor of this China hutch, you know, even not everyone, but like anybody who's like my parents' age that see it, it's the question is always, what are you going to put in it? And it's like, well, I have stuff in there that's not appropriate. It's like, you know, it's almost like a storage essentially, or like pictures that, you know, whatever. And it's just, I will never be a person with China. Like, I want to buy plates that I want to use every right. single day. That's just the type of person I am. And not that there's anything bad about saving your China, but even just as a whole, looking at that and taking it and being like, what else do I keep special that I either don't need or I would get a lot more joy from if I actually used it?
Mm. Oh yeah. Like I'll buy a new outfit and then like want to wait for like the right moment to wear the outfit. And then what happens is it just sits there and it sits there and it's like every moment that you would feel good in it would be the best moment to wear it. Like it doesn't have to be this like thing. Like any day that you wear it, you're going to feel special. And so just make that day special. You don't have to necessarily wait for an occasion.
Sarah, I had no idea, but Alex is like that. And it fucking drives me bananas because I'm the type of person where if I get a shirt, I wear the shit out of it like every day for like 2 weeks. And Alex is like, that's your new shirt? You're working out in it? It's like, yeah, whatever. I love it.
Right. But you're onto something there. I mean, honestly, it's like, if you bought it because it feels good to you, then that's the purpose of it, right? Like to feel yes. good in it. So just go ahead and do that, right? And I think to your point about like what we see in past life regressions, and I totally see the exact same thing. It's like your time is temporary. Your time is not permanent. And the little things are what's going to matter most, not the like promotions and the new car and all of that stuff. So like, yeah, just wear the shirt, you know, and just really enjoy that. Enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to like things that are special or even things that are handed down, something that I thought of too, especially last year during the pandemic, was like how many of these, like even these special holiday traditions that our families have just done for decades, how much of those do we all really, really enjoy? You know what I mean? And not saying I don't want to get together with anyone on the holidays. What I'm saying is like, I just like to question those things. Like, is this really that special? Could we make it better? I'm not saying we have to, but I'm just double checking. That kind of rings true for me too, in that sense, just in terms of tradition and other things that we get from other people, our ancestors, families, whatever. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, because if it's not invoking the outcome, right, of like sharing a special moment together, feeling joy, feeling love, then like what is the point of that tradition? And I mean, even just at large, you know, with like societal norms, even if you just kind of like take that even further out of like, if the things that we are just continually perpetuating, because that's how things have been in our community or in our society or in our culture. It's like anytime you're getting to a point that like the desired outcome is disconnected from like the steps we're following or the boxes we're checking, there's definitely absolutely a place to like question that and to deconstruct that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the desired outcome of, that's something I'll be taking with me. What is the desired outcome of this Thanksgiving feast? 3 days of leftovers? Okay. Yes, we are on the right track.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And not just for yourself. Totally. Yeah. I always come home with like coolers full of food. That's one of my favorite traditions right there. I'm about that one.
And then every time I walk through the kitchen, I like snag a bite of pecan pie or whatever. Okay. So you had mentioned you were doing like some shadow work yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not that you have to talk about that, but what my question is, when do you show up personally for your, like, how do you use your Oracle decks personally? And I'm sure it's like changed and stuff like that. And it's totally fine if you're like, the only time I pick up my Oracle decks when we talk for the podcast, that's totally fair too. But I'm just wondering, I'm always curious, just when someone does this for, you know, one of their jobs or service or whatever, however you look at it, like, how do you use it personally, and has that changed from when you were just using it personally, dabbling in it, to now where you work with clients? And I'm just springing this question on you. I'm sure you'll think in 2 hours and be like, I should have said this instead. But what, like, what's coming up for you in that? I'm so curious just to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. It's definitely changed. I'll start there. It's definitely changed. When I first got a deck, it was for me something that was like a daily routine or ritual, but it wasn't necessarily what I think of now as like a reading or channeling. It was more just like, okay, pull a card. What does that card read? What does that card mean? How could that apply to me today? And then look for signs and synchronicities that day to like affirm that message or that, you know, that experience that I had. And then that slowly developed into giving myself a 3-card reading, and like maybe one card is past energy, one is present energy, one is future energy. And then that eventually changed into giving myself the types of readings that I give my clients, where it's like I come to that sacred moment with myself with a few questions in mind or a few topics. And I feel like this is a good point for me to also say that I don't work with spirit in like fortune telling, predictive, outcome based information. So anyone who's interested in working with me, just know that I'm not interested in working with spirit in that way. So I'm never going to sit down with like, when will this happen for me? I might say like, what should I be working on in the meantime before this happens for me? That sort of thing. So anyway, I would give those types of readings to myself around, okay, I want to know a little bit about career, a little bit about love, a little bit about family, or I would come with specific questions. And it's interesting because the more I've started working with clients, you're spot on that like I slowly stopped working as much with myself. And I want to attribute that to just knowing that my intuition can work with or without the cards at this point. And also when you're doing something for work, it's just usually less likely that you're going to be doing it on a personal, on your personal time for as much. But I do definitely sit down with myself and my cards at least monthly, at least, because I try to do it at least every full moon. But then there are also times in between where I sit down with my deck, and it's usually when I know intuitively that spirit has been trying to get a message through to me, but maybe I haven't sat down long enough to get still and meditate on it. Or maybe I intuitively know that I've been kind of like not looking in that direction or whatever it is. And I'll sit down with my cards. I'll start it off just like I start off these episodes, you know, grounding myself, connecting with spirit. And then I'll shuffle, and I don't know how to explain how I know what card to pull. It's just this intuitive, like, stop, or intuitive, that's the one. And, you know, I'll lay them out, and, you know, I'll kind of assign each card that topic or that question. And then I'll flip it over, and I'll do again exactly what I do on these episodes, and I'll just channel. I'll channel what's coming through. I usually journal it as I'm channeling. And then I'm always curious, and I use that as a point to strengthen my knowledge as well. So then I may get on Google and start researching something, or, you know, I'll open the book that goes along with it to see if anything else comes through. But usually, yeah, it's definitely compared. It's like meditation, pulling the cards, and then usually journaling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am definitely someone who only recently started getting away from the, not that I think this is bad, but like just getting away from the pull a card, read what it says, because the problem for me with that is like, I don't look for synchronicities. I actually totally forget that I pulled the card. Like, I used to do a card a week, and then I journal. This was a couple of years ago, for tarot. And now I'll pull a card and just set it out. And I'm just trying to like see it every day, just try to kind of feel the energy, and more as like a, when I see it, it's on just to the side of my desk in my office. So then when I see it, I'm like thinking about that and trying to connect dots, even if it is just like subconsciously somewhere. But yeah, I'm always curious to see how people use it themselves. And because oftentimes, like what we're passionate about when we start using it for quote work on some level, yeah, the relationship definitely does change. And I think that it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, I'm curious to get behind the curtain for everybody.
The other thing I'll say about doing it for work is that I am so, so, so blessed in my work that when I am, you know, kind of observing other people's healing or being able to like have a conversation while someone is also getting a reading, like that also applies in my life, right? So like I'm reading cards for this podcast or for someone else, but absolutely those messages apply in my life most of the time. And so it's like a lot of the times I leave a session with like questions to think about myself, or oh yeah, that's showing up in my life. And that's just such a blessing of being able to do this work, that like I'm reading for other people, but at the same time spirit is offering those messages to me as well. So
yeah, you know what? I'm just putting that together, because when I asked you that, I was just thinking about past life regression and how much I've done it as a client and what that's like afterward, or after becoming a hypnotist, like someone who facilitates it. And I do less, I maybe do about the same actually, but I feel like I do it more. But to your point, a lot of those messages that clients get from their spirit guides or lessons from a past life, it's all, even though I'm not getting it on the same level they are, I'm still getting it. And that's, yeah, that's, I just had a woman this morning who she was like, well, I'd like to work on A, B, and C. And it's like, oh, me too. That's where I'm at too.
Right.
You know, and it's just cool to be able to be able to like sit there and be like, oh, I just, because even though our issues and like challenges are really specific to us in our life, I feel like there's definitely threads that are just, you know, we can all take it and make us ours, or make it ours, like for our learning and our joy and our, you know, forward movement on this path. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us, and you will be back next month. I can't wait.
Totally. I'm already ready.
Thank you so much for tuning in. That is our Oracle episode for this month. If you find this conversation valuable, you can complete the energetic exchange between us all by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or forward this episode to someone who you think would appreciate it. Forward this episode to someone who you think would appreciate this tea and more tea like it, and then you can have spiritual tea with them regularly. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing and being open to these journeys. Until next time, take care.